Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of this day, not just the weather, but the beauty of your majesty that you are displaying today through these songs we've sang, through the scripture we've read, to see that sure word proclaimed and that has come to pass. And we long for the fullness of it. We wait for the day that you return and set your feet down on this earth and rule. But until then, we pray that you give us grace, Lord, that we can be your spokesmen and women, that we can proclaim a right word at the right time. And today is the day. Now is the time. The future is now for a proclamation, for a declaration of the gospel of God. Help us, Lord, to think about what the words are we say today and how do they line up with what you would have us to say. Renew us, Lord, that we can have a new desire, a refreshed desire to tell of your excellent goodness and your greatness and your majesty and might and power and your authority and your saving grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is The Right Word at the Right Time, or you might want to call it the Jewel of Good News. I can't decide which it is. We're going to focus in on two verses primarily today, verse 11 and verse 25, but we're going to read the whole chapter and do that first so we can continue just reading through the whole of the scripture. Proverbs 25. These are more proverbs of Solomon copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. That's funny, isn't it? Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As a north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives away to the wicked, It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So we're going to look at verses 11 and verse 25 today, and I think that we begin to see in this proverb there's so much to do with speech, words, And we look at verse 6, and it's just the caution against bragging or boasting or having this bravado about you. It says, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. Speech that's full of bravado with no punch, nothing to back it up. But we contrast that also in the second part of verse 6 of having an attitude of unassuming confidence or being humble that gives no voice to personal competence or accomplishments. Look at the second part. I guess we'd be looking at verse 7. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. So having that contrast there in speech, one is very boastful and the other is very unassuming. Another contrast is verses 8 and 11. And verse 8 says, what you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? Having that quick tongue, being quick to speak. Well, this is what I saw. This is what I know. I know it's this way. That's contrasted with verse 11, having a very thoughtful pattern of speech. Words aptly spoken. The word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Such a difference there, and what a contrast. And we can see that in our own lives. Perhaps you find this about yourself. You're quick to speak sometimes of what you think and what you know. A thoughtful, measured, timely word is what's desirable in Proverbs. God approves of that. The third contrast to look at is verse 13. Verse 13, like coolness of snow at harvest time, is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Contrast that with verse 14, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. So that's speaking of something that you don't have. And just such a contrast in Proverbs. And we see that contrasted very, very well throughout the Proverbs. For instance, in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Words matter. I think that's what the Proverbs drive home a lot. Words actually do matter. What you say does have an impact. Words are powerful. Verse 8, chapter 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Just in your speech alone. Words can hurt. Words can heal. Words can give hope, and words can steal. Words can be like sand. They're so numerous they become meaningless and of no value. I think we learn that throughout the Proverbs as well. But words can be like jewels. When we read the Word of God, especially like Chris has read those verses for us today, words can be jewels that really sink into the heart the great value of the wisdom of God, the power of God, the love of God, the goodness of God. They add value. They add meaning. They add substance and worth to our lives and to our whole world in which we live. And this is how we are to speak. And I think Proverbs speaks about this in this way, that we would consider our words to be as choice rubies, as jewels, as wealth and riches. How do you consider your speech? You think about what you talk about when you talk about the future. Are your words like jewels when people hear them? Do they take them as treasures? Are they wasted and meaningless? I want to spend a few moments looking at this, thinking about this in verse 11 and verse 25. Verse 11, there's so much written on it. But it's so important. It's one of those important, powerful verses in all of Proverbs and perhaps in all of Scripture when it comes to how we speak, the things that we say. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. And I think the best way to understand this is the right word at the right time is a treasure, is a jewel. It's like precious gold set in silver. Have you ever had somebody speak to you the right word at the right time? You knew that they were sent by God. They said just something so simple that they thought nothing of it, yet it was profound and meaningful, and it sunk deep, and it was life-changing. That's the way we're supposed to be thinking about our speech, and why would we want to think like that? The reason why is because God thinks like that. God's words are profound. They are gold. And I think that's at the heart of the reason why we would even consider being thoughtful of our words, because God Himself is that way. That's how God is, the right word at the right time. We contrast this with the idea of verse 20. Says, like a person, and I'm paraphrasing it somewhat, like a person who takes away a coat on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, and we can all see that, is a person who sings a lovely song to a sorrowing heart. It can really hit you the wrong way. But a right word at the right time is like gold set in silver. The right word at the right time is powerful. Boy, they're having trouble back there today, aren't they? The right word at the right time has the power to literally stop hopelessness in its tracks. I like to look at, there's some things, verses in Scripture just stand out to me. I think of the right word at the right time, and you think, wow, it's just what anybody would say or should say. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 28. Listen to this powerful word, a right word at the right time, as an example. Paul and Silas are in prison now for ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It's almost a silent night. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. So he's getting ready to fall on his sword, and Paul, with the right word at the right time, says, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." That's a right word at the right time, and it had a life-changing effect. Is the right word at the right time. Another time I think of in Scripture, Matthew chapter 14, a right word at the right time that changed despair to radiant faith and death-defying faith is Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus walked on the water. He came to his disciples walking on the water. And during the fourth watch of the night, verse 25 says, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out with fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter's faith welled up to a death-defying faith. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus simply said, "Come." And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. That's a death-defying faith. Or the right word at the right time changed everything. And these disciples were prone to being fearful. We see that throughout the Scriptures, and throughout the Gospels in particular, especially when they were on the water. They were oftentimes afraid. The very thing that they did spending their lives on the boats, fishing, they found to be an area of great fear. But the right word at the right time changed their doubt and their despair to death-defying hope and faith. The right word at the right time can change heartbreak and disappointment into something that is powerful and dares to believe God. And I'm saying all this because God has done this for us. All the verses we've read so far and every verse in the Scripture is the right word at the right time to lift us from doubt and despair to faith and hope and trust in God. Think of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. When Joseph had heard that Mary was pregnant, think of the disappointment. Think of his heartbreak. Think of his distress. He was losing confidence. I wonder what he thought about God. I wonder how broken he was, and how did this affect, obviously it affected his relationship with Mary. He was going to divorce her. Listen to these verses, 18 through 24, how the right word at the right time can cause someone to dare to believe God. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place, and think of that, the right word at the right time, it changes everything to cause him to dare to believe God. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. All these things happened, including Joseph having great doubt. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. The right word at the right time. It can ignite faith. I think that God's word revealed, his word at the right time ignites faith. And I love how the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that it was this faith ignited that conquered kingdoms. It's this faith ignited that shut the mouths of lions. It's this faith ignited that raised the dead. Faith ignited that quenched the fury of the flames. Faith ignited that escaped the edge of the sword. The right word at the right time ignites a flame that turns weakness to strength, darkness to light. The right word at the right time can ignite saving faith that powerfully turns the most miserable, wretched sinner into a happy follower of Jesus Christ with a changed life. The right word at the right time. Why tell people the good news of Jesus Christ? Because it is the right word, and this is the right time. What is your plan for 2019 as you think about ending 2018? What is the right word for you? What is God showing you in his word? What is he convincing you of today? The right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver. I think that we would add this, the right word at the right time is a jewel of good news. Are you intentional when you speak? Examine yourself right now. I think of my own words, how much I waste them. Remember a said of Samuel, that God didn't let his words fall to the ground. How is it with you? How is it with me? Right words at the right time build up. The right word at the right time gives vision. The right word at the right time gives hope. The right word at the right time heals. The right word at the right time gives strength to the weak. The right word at the right time changes your tomorrow. The right word at the right time changes your eternity. It's what God has intended for us as his people to speak. The right word at the right time to produce fruit for his kingdom. The right word at the right time to quicken the dead. Those that hear good news would hear it, receive it, believe it, and live. The right word at the right time is a word that speaks the love of God. They speak Christ to a lost, enduring, dying world. Timely words are right words. They awaken the dull and the unexpected. Many, many people that you know, you've talked to them yourself, and if you've brought the right word at the right time, you find out that when you said it, it's something they totally did not expect. A good case in point, and we'll look at chapter 25, Proverbs 25, verse 25. And you get the idea of that in this verse, where it says, like a cool drink of water, like cool water, cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. It was a time in Israel, a time of great darkness. And Isaiah spoke of it. He spoke of the time Christ would come in Isaiah chapter 60, saying, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light, but they weren't looking for this light. It was happening right under their noses, and they didn't see it." There was promise of a great dawning to come upon Israel and upon the world, upon the nations. But Israel didn't see it. The world didn't see it. But there was some that saw it. And Matthew chapter 2 tells this great story of some men from a distant land who, by the grace of God, saw it. And they came from a distant land and brought news, good news, a jewel of good news to people that were not expecting anything. Although some were looking for the consolation of Israel, you had Simeon, you had the prophetess Anna, you had, I think, John the Baptist's father and mother. There was people, Mary and Joseph were among those that were looking for Messiah, but the religious people, the people of Israel proper, were not even aware of what was happening until these men came in Matthew chapter 2, a visit from the Magi. Now at this point in Matthew chapter 2, he starts off, Jesus had been born when they came. So light had come into the world, grace and truth had come on the stage, and very few people knew it. Here's what it says in the first two verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked this question. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They brought a message of good news. And it wasn't, we're speculating that this has happened. This has happened. The king has been born. Where has he been? Where has he been born? Where is he? They saw his star, and they saw his star. It says in the east, but they were in the east, and they saw his star, and they went. We saw his star. What did they see? What did they know? Where is this one born king of the Jews? Yes, they were astrologers. They studied the stars. They studied the signs. Now, it's thought and presumed that they came from the area where Babylon was, where Daniel had been taken and many of the other Israelites had lived. It's thought that perhaps that they were in the school that Daniel would have, the head astrologer, whatever you would have called Daniel at the time, that they were probably in this long, centuries-old school and had been taught by Daniel. But they knew a king was to come in Israel. Their words are very specific. So they informed these religious leaders. And they showed them what they knew of a promise. Now if we look back in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I've written it down. If we look back at Numbers 17, we see words prophesied by Balaam, who also was a pagan. By the way, these magi were probably ones that mixed all different kinds of religions together. It's not said that they were believers in the sense of Jews, believing Jews, but here they were magi from the east that studied the stars. But Balaam was much the same way. Balaam was no friend of Israel. Now, this would have been 1,500 years prior to, roughly 1,500, maybe 1,300 years, prior to this incident in Matthew chapter 2. Balaam was contracted by Balak to minister curses to Israel, to bring about their fall and their demise. But Balaam had a word to be spoken then, and as he looked into the visions that God was giving him, this is what he said in Numbers 24:17. Said, "I see him now, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel, a scepter star, a king star. This is what Balaam saw. This is what the Magi saw. They saw what had been told would happen, and yet they're coming and bringing an apt word, the right word at the right time, to the religious leaders in Israel, informing them of something that they themselves, you would think that they would know these things. They came to bring good news. And it was the right word at the right time that awakened the nation, because we see that the moment that these men brought this good news, they inquired where the Christ was to be born. And they looked in their Bibles and they saw Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And so we see Scripture completed the revelation. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. And what's interesting, Herod called the Magi back in. And they found out when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and find the child. And when you find him, let me know where he is so I can come and worship him. But it says in verse 9, after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. It's as though the star ceased until they were ready to go. They needed further revelation of where exactly he was. And the star reappeared over Bethlehem, over Christ. But they brought the right news, they brought the right word at the right time, and it awakened a nation. The Scripture then was sought out, and God revealed the truth concerning Messiah. It's a jewel of good news. Ultimately, the one that came from a distant nation is none other than Jesus Christ. And the Lord has come from a distant nation to bring good news. And that is the good news that we ourselves are to be speaking forth today to one another in our congregation, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, among our friends, to speak good news, to be those whose tongues are dripping honey in the sense of healthful, good, uplifting and upbuilding words. Jesus came speaking good news, and it's interesting. We send missionaries all over the world. Messengers from a distant country bringing good news. And let's think of our missionaries that we support this year and consider those we pray for. And remember that they too are those heralds of good news wherever they've been sent. Pray that God would allow that as they open their mouths and as they minister the word of truth, that people would receive it as good news. And think about what you say and how you speak it this coming week, that you could be a messenger of good news, a word aptly spoken, a right word at the right moment. God has given you the word to speak. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. May you be thoughtful in how you speak, a jewel of good news this coming week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you for bringing the right word at the right moment when you sent your son Jesus. And please, Father, help us to measure our words carefully, that we might be heralds of good news to bring a jewel to someone today, someone who is needing a cold, refreshing drink for their soul. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.